All right, brethren, if you will, let's turn to 2 Kings chapter 5. 2 Kings chapter 5. This is a story of Naaman the leper being cleansed. He wasn't real happy about it in the beginning. He had to go down. If God's going to save somebody here, he's going to bring you down. From all the intellect and the knowing and the experience and the doing and the we think and the everything else, if God's going to save somebody and make them whole, he's going to have to bring them down. And they're going to do so willingly. Because his people are going to be willing in the day of his power. There's some things I know about this story. Here in 2 Kings 5, the story about Naaman the leper. I know this story is important. 2 Kings chapter 5. I know this story is important. Our Lord devoted a whole chapter in his word just to talk about this leper, this Gentile leper named Naaman. And he referred to it in Luke 4. He said, there's a whole mess of lepers in Israel in that day. God healed one of them. And that was a Gentile. That made some people really mad about that. He preached from this. This is a good place for us to learn. Don't you want to learn something? Have we been taught anything? I want to learn of the Lord. I do. I know this is important. I know it's true. I know that this leper is going to be healed by going in this river. But I know also that that river Jordan, this isn't about telling people to go get down that particular river. That river has no power in and of itself to cure any leprosy. I know that. I know it. But I also know Naaman could have never been healed of his leprosy if he didn't go down that river. This has to happen. This is vital. This isn't life and death. This is eternal life and death. And we ought not play with God's word. God of the Bible kills people. It's important. I pray he'll make us pay attention. Give us his ear. Who was this man Naaman? Who was he? Well, he was respected. He was well known. He was mighty. He was honorable. He's a good guy. He kept his word. As far as men are considered, people liked him. He was respected. And the Lord used this man to deliver Syria. But he hadn't been made to bow to Christ yet. Just because he's a good fellow. Just because maybe he read his Bible every day. And he went to church 17 times a week. And he did all these good little churchy things. And he had the right doctrines lined up. He didn't know Christ yet. He hadn't been brought down. He thought he's fine. Might have had a little problem or two. I've always been fine. I like me. It's going to start sounding familiar if God's worked in us yet. You, the Lord, you'll see this as familiar. That's all of us, wouldn't it? We was fine. I mean, we had a couple of tweaks that need to be made, but look here in verse 1. 2 Kings 5, verse 1. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, he was a head general, was a great man. With his master, his king thought so. And honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor. A leper. But he was, as in italics, a leper. This was a great man. The Lord had used this man to deliver a whole nation. Great man. Many medals. He had a whole mess of medals. Great wealth. He wasn't hurting for money. He was honorable as a good general, but a leper. He thought he was a general that happened to be a leper. He was a leper that happened to be a general. God ought to teach us that. You know, this is every one of us. This is every child born of Adam. We may appear to be honorable. We may appear to man's eye to do good things. We may have a nice job. We may be a father or a mother. Well, they got children. They ain't too bad. Maybe there. What's some things we respect in this nation? Firefighters. Maybe they're a veteran. I know a pretty young lady one time that thought all people in the military are just good, upstanding men. And then she married one of them. She found out that wasn't the case. They're just like everybody else. Probably more ornery. Maybe there's a police officer. We admire those things, right? A teacher. But every one of us, A-double-L all, we have a disease. We have leprosy. That picture's sin. That's everybody. That's those sweet little old people that we like so much and them sweet little babies we love so much. Everybody's a sinner. We're lepers. We're spiritual lepers. Leprosy was an outward disease. It's a picture of sin. And you know, we try to do the same thing that Naaman did. We try to cover it up. We want to put makeup on it. We want to put perfume on it so it doesn't smell. But no matter how much we cover it, no matter how much we make up, pretend, that's what that is, how much we cover it up with smell, it's there, it's real, and it's deadly, and people need to know about it. You're going to meet a holy God one day. And you either meet him in your robes or his robes. And that day might be today. Naaman thought, you know, if I could just get rid of this leprosy, if I could go back to the way things were, everything would be great. I got this one little hiccup, and if I could get that one little hiccup fixed, I'd go back to life on Easy Street, buddy. I got the world by the tail on a downhill pull. Easy Street, isn't it? The scriptures say, that's my job. Do you know that? I don't make stuff up. Do you know I don't want nothing from you? I don't want to be in charge. I just want you to know what God's word says. And the Lord's, that's the title of my message. We're met where we rebel. And whenever we come to things in scripture, there's going to be a man come to us and tell us this is what this says. We're either going to bow or rebel. It's going to be one of the two. There ain't no riding the fence. Now this is what this says. And if you think you're right and I think I'm right, one of us is going to die and go to hell. Lord's going to save us. At best, one of us is going to die and go to hell. Scripture said there is none good. No. Not one. There's none that understandeth. They might know a bunch of scripture. I saw a man whipping some people working out at the gym. And told him, said that, started quoting Paul writing to Corinthians. And he said, that's sinful and lasciviousness and adulteries and fornications. And he said, then he stopped that. And I said, kept going. It says, and such were some of you. That's the context. He's talking to believers, wasn't he? Wasn't he? There's none that seeketh after God. Well, I was looking for him and I found him. No, you didn't. He found you. He wasn't the lost one. I hear this coming out of people's mouths, and I worry for their souls. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've everyone turned to our own way, and our sins is what separated us from God. We can blame Adam for it. We did it. We did it. But God's able to save to the uttermost, and he delights to show mercy. We're going to see that here. Double. Machpelah. Naaman gets it multiple times. Lord's generous to him. How is this mighty man going to be made whole? This one that's a leper. He's going to have to go down. He's going to have to be humbled. And whenever he is, he will willfully repent. He'll cry out to God and willfully and earnestly beg for mercy. How's he going to learn these things? How can he know? How's he going to hear this to believe it? Somebody's going to have to tell him. Somebody's going to tell him where the Lord is preached in truth. Naaman and any other sinner saved by God's grace is going to have to be pointed to Christ. Now, is that a fancy job? Are we going to have the most distinguished among us do this thing? Are we going to have the most experienced, the most learned believers? Is that their task? God used an unnamed servant girl. Look at verse 2. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, little girl. And she waited on Naaman's wife. She's just a servant there, helping his wife. And she said unto her mistress, Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria. I wish that the Lord would let my Master Naaman go to where God's prophet was. For he would recover him of his leprosy. This girl knew of Elisha. I don't know if she knew him, but she knew of him. And she knew that was God's man sent to God's people in that place. And she said, go see him. And she told her mistress, just another servant, and talking to her, they're probably down there washing clothes or something. And she said, Naaman could be recovered. But for that to happen, he's going to have to be under the gospel. And the Lord's going to have to be pleased to do so. And that's his only hope. But it's a sure hope. If he needs mercy, if he needs a true covering, that's his only place he's going to get it. It says at the end of verse 4, For he would. Willing to show mercy. Look at verse 4. And one went in and told his Lord, saying, thus and thus it said the maid that is of the land of Israel. That's a little maid girl down there taking care of your wife. And you know what I heard her say? You have to go down there to Israel. There's some fellow down there that can fix you. Word traveled to Naaman and his king, and good news was published. That's what that is. Somebody told him in person. In person. And the king of Syria said, verse 5, go. I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. I'll do my part. I'm going to help you out, buddy. I'd love to see you not have leprosy. And I, being a king, am going to write a letter to my peer, a man like me. I know how this thing works. Another king, the king of Israel. I'll write to the king. You go to him. I'll write a letter for you. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. Whole mess of clothes. Why'd he take those? He's going to trade them so his covering would be right. All right? He started out wrong. He thought he talked with this king. They come up with a plan, and they executed the plan, and it was a terrible plan. He started out bad. He was taking all his silver and gold and fine clothes to trade that for healing. He was going to go to God's prophet and say, I'm going to help you out. You help me out. That ain't going to fly. That ain't going to fly. You can't buy the healing of your sin. You can't earn it. You can't merit it, and you can't trade nothing for it. Peter said, for as much as ye know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver or gold from the vain conversations received by tradition of your fathers. What your sweet little grandma and grandpa told you, how God loves good little boys and girls and they go to heaven, that's a lie and it's a damnable heresy. God's going to have to send somebody to tell people that. And he's going to have to make them believe it. Because that's what his word says. You weren't redeemed with those things in the way we always did it that way. Well, that's how we did it. Who cares how you did it? How's God do it? Not silver, not gold, not corruptible things, but with the precious blood of Christ. That's what we were redeemed with. 10 changes of raiment. Naaman wanted to be healed outwardly. That's where the Lord's going to meet him. He knew he was a leper, and he had the pride of outward appearance. The successful career was accomplished. He was married. Had family. He was a leper. He had the girl. He won the battles. He made rank. He earned respect. But he was ugly on the outside. He was a leper. He wanted the new outside garments, outside skin. That's what he wanted. What he really needed was a robe of righteousness. That's what he needed. And he brought the wrong payment, and he went to the wrong person. Look here in verse 6. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel. Remember his king wrote a letter to the other king? Well, he took that king, that letter and he took it to the king of Israel, saying, now, when this letter has come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman, my servant, to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. He goes, I'll just go to the man in charge. I'll go to the boss. The king said go, didn't he? Why did Naaman go to the king and not the prophet? He was told by his king. His buddy told him. They liked each other, didn't they? He said, well, I'll tell you what we ought to do. What's that? That's the blind leading the blind. God teach us these things. We can sit around in our living rooms and come up with real good plans of how we're going to do everything, and that ain't God's way. It was the way we always did it. Isn't that how one king would write a letter to a letter, put a seal on it, take that ring and put it in that wax, and that way they knew it hadn't been opened for your eyes only? It seemed fine. That's the way it's always been done. I tell you what Solomon said. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You're going to die doing it your way. But I think this is how it ought to be done. You go read 1 Corinthians 11:19. You go really read Galatians 5:20 and 2 Peter 2:1. All those talk about heresies. Do you know what that word translated is? A personal choice or opinion. It's what I think. Well, that's not something that's grave, and you're saying that little spacemen are coming out and you got to kiss a goat to be saved or something crazy. You got to make a pilgrimage to Mecca or something. That's a heresy. Yeah, and what you think's a heresy. God says so. Go read His Word. That's your opinion. That's what we think. Well, I think, I've always done it this way. I think so. In order, those verses I gave you, there must be heresies among you. It's going to happen. And all that's the work of the flesh. And this is going to happen behind people's backs subtly. He's going to sneak in real gently, real sweet too. And when the prophet ain't there, the prophet ain't listening, and say, you know why? We do it this way. Here's what I think. You know, I've always thought that. God says that's a heresy, and they're sneaking in. And they got itching ears, and they heap to them teachers. You got a teacher. Naaman was given one teacher, Elisha. And he's trying to find anybody else he could talk to until he found him a yes that sorted it his way. No, you're going to have to go through God's man. That's the way you think, not the way God thinks. All them false teachers, they're going to bring their opinions, what they think. And so he showed up to the king of Israel. So this way we've come up with. Thanks be to God, the king of Israel knew better. Look at verse 7. And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes. He tore his clothes off. And said, am I God to kill and to make alive? That this man doth send to me to recover the man of leprosy? Why in the world are you coming to me? I can't heal him. I'm not God. I'm not the one sent. I'm here to just rule this country. Talk about respecting the particular men sent to that place in that region at that time. That king got it, didn't he? He said, that ain't my bit. I'm scanning my lane. I do my governing and stuff. You're going to talk to that fella. What are you talking to me for? Are you wanting to go to war? Is this a trick? It was absurd to him. Look at the end of that verse. He said, wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. Are you doing this on purpose? Don't you know better? Some of the things that natural man comes up with when the Lord puts a new creation in somebody and they believe God, all those things seem so absurd, isn't it? Like, are you picking a fight? Are you nuts? They ain't. That's what they did. They think they're fine. Me and a brother was talking last week, and he said, you know, you can't be mad at somebody if they're dead. And it's like talking to a rock. You know, there's no life in them. I can't be upset with that. But I tell you what, I get as close to that rock as I can, and I yell, live! Hear what God has. Surrender! Yeah. Going to the king will not help you. He had to go to the prophet. Now, Elisha was not the prophet, the capital P prophet. He's only the prophet in that day. That's all he was. He's just a picture of Christ. That's what he is. Moses said, God's going to raise up a prophet, and him you shall hear. And he's going to speak my words, and everyone that hears my prophet's going to be blessed. And those that hear not my prophet, he said, I'll require of them. Oh, you got a balance that's owed. This word came and I sent my messengers to you and you would not hear. That's what it's just burning my heart. Woe unto me if I preach not the gospel. Woe unto those people that hear the gospel preached and won't bow to it. That don't find him adorable, that don't kiss the Son. Lord's going to be angry. I want to warn people. Everybody's comforted. I hope they're disturbed. And all those that shook up by that, hey, he's on his throne. Calm down. I want you to be comforted. Lord has to do that. Who is that prophet that Moses was talking about? That's Christ the prophet, isn't it? And all of his under-shepherds are just ambassadors. They just tell you what the message is. It's his. They just tell you what he says. The remembrancers. That's it. That's all Elisha was. Lord gave him a word, hadn't he? Naaman went to the wrong place. He took the wrong stuff. He didn't go to the prophet. And billions of people in our day, they're going to the wrong place with the wrong payment to the wrong people. All over. It breaks my heart. It does. And they think what they're doing is right because that's what they always did, or that's what everybody else does. The word says go to Christ. His word says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. It's a person we come to. People say they come to the doctrines of grace. I hope they just don't know how to talk yet. I didn't come to the doctrines of grace and was saved. I came to Christ and was saved. And then once I know him, I got them doctrines straight. I didn't come to him through those doctrines. I came to the doctrines by Christ. Just the ability to explain it. We'll get to that at the end. Word finally made it to Elisha, verse 8. And it was so, when Elisha the man of God had heard the king of Israel had rent his clothes, he had sent to that king, saying, wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? What's wrong with you? Why are you so upset over this? You know the Lord did this. Let him come to me now. That ain't your problem. You just send him to me. And he shall know that there's a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot. Is that what it says in your Bible? Look with me. Read verse 9. And Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. What we were looking at the other day, they come right up to it. They made it to the parking lot and they wouldn't come inside. Isn't that what that lame man was at the gate? Yeah, right? Is that us? Have we ever come all the way up to the door and not went inside? Have we ever come up to that gate of refuge, that city of refuge to the gate and not went into Christ? That's what this leader did. He came with all his implements of war, didn't he? And all his men. Horses and chariots. He's finally at the right place. He's finally found the right person. This is the man of God. But his attitude was wrong. His attitude was wrong. He stood at the door, but he wouldn't go in. He brought all his men. He brought his implements of power and war and pageantry. And he stood at the door waiting to be treated like he was somebody. His way. His way of doing things. Well, he's going to be greeted. There's protocol when you deal with generals. Like if you break that protocol, it's like dealing with Queen of England or something, King of England. There's rules you have to go through in the military. His way is to be greeted and to be praised and someone doing something for him. He wasn't going to go nowhere. He wasn't going to do nothing. They're going to come to him. And they're going to do it his way. And he's going to be, you know what, we're just so happy to have you here. Oh, look at all the money he's going to bring to help build this place up. Oh, they're just good, I tell you. Well, thankful to have old Naaman here. That's what he's used to. That's what every place underneath the sun is, handing out roses and all this other nonsense. What's the Lord's way? He's going to have to sit down, and he's going to have to wait, and he's going to have to listen for what God's prophet had to say. He's in an unappealing shack. He's on a prophet's salary. He can't afford nothing too fancy. And that big old general wasn't going to go in that little rundown place. But you're going to have to sit out there and you're going to have to wait from the word that God gives his prophet for that day, for that hour. You can't pick and choose. You can't have a smorgasbord to go eat from. You're going to have to take what God gives you. Mankind don't like that. Natural man, the unregenerate man, don't like that. They say, I want to pick and choose. It's going to be my way. This ain't Burger King. You can't have it your way. It's the Lord's way. Nothing's different in our day. If God's going to bless it. Now, if I'm speaking on behalf of him according to this word, I'm either right or I'm wrong. If I'm wrong, don't you listen to me. Run me out of town. If God's going to bless it, we're going to have to first sit down in a pew, and we're going to have to listen to what the Lord has to say for a while. And in his time, by his man, he'll heal and do what he's pleased to do. Not by listening to 15,000 of them throughout the week. In the proportion that he gives. You've got to take the serving size that the Lord's put out on your plate for that week and eat it. If we get hungry, well, that's the Lord portioned it out. It ain't my business. It's his business. And we're going to have to bow to him. Elijah knew. He wasn't an idiot. He knew Naaman's pride. He knew his arrogance. And he would not go out to meet him. He wasn't going to cater to him. Everybody else kowtow to him and kiss her hind end. I ain't doing it. I was sending one of his little servants. You go talk to him. I thought how handy it was. He had a servant to help him. Wish I had me a servant. You go talk to him. I ain't fooling. I got study for this weekend. Go talk to that big, proud, arrogant general out there. The prophet knew the man's problem and what needed to happen. The man needed to be broken. He needed to be brought down, because that's where mercy's found, is at the feet of Christ, not way up on your chariot and your horse. Get you down. He knew that. And this proud, arrogant general had to be brought low, and me and you ain't no different. God's going to meet us at our point of rebellion, and we're going to have to be brought down to the feet of Christ so he gets all the glory. We're going to have to start thinking, stop being convinced of our way and what we think and what we've always done, and say we're wrong and take his side against us. Say the Lord's right. Let him be true and every man a liar. Or we're going to die and go to hell in our sins. We're going to meet him in judgment. Bear that second death. It says in verse 10, and Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. Go down that river and dip 7 times. Get naked in front of everybody. And go dip yourself in perfection 7 times, in completion, thoroughly. Go wash yourself down that river, and you'll be clean. That's all you got to do. But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, behold, I thought, heresy. Heresy. It's a damnable heresy. I thought he would surely come out to me and stand. Walk out to me like a man. Stand up and call on the name of the Lord, his God. Lord wasn't Naaman's God yet, was he? He's mad about all this. He said, well, you got a God, and I just want some favors. That's what mankind wants. We want ease. Aging is the aggressive pursuit of comfort. I've learned that the hard way the last couple months. I'm tired of eating. I want to sit on the couch. And well, guess what? Then I get weaker, and then I'm getting older. I'm aging. I think of them old men at 600-700 years old, they were spry, buddy. That's tough. They wasn't wheelchair bound and scooting around and barely alive. They was out there chopping wood. Naaman was mad. He said, I wanted something out of him, just like man does now. We want health. We want wealth. We want to be out from underneath the law. Wouldn't you love it if you couldn't get arrested for anything? I mean, I wouldn't speed, right? I thought the other day, I'd go to 56 just to know I could get away with it. Yes, I would. I'd just be I was a rebel before. I'm a rebel now. Nobody wants to go to hell. Everybody wants to go to heaven and see all the people we've missed and have a good old family reunion. He was mad. He said, I thought he'd call in the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. I thought come up here and work on me. Was Elisha right? Did he know his problem? Wouldn't he go out there and talk? Yeah. That old prophet sent of God may know a thing or two. I wonder how old he was when he was there. I hope he's 23 years old. But if he had walked outside, that general said, oh. I know more than that fella does. Mm-hmm. Why was there contention? Why was Naaman so mad? Proverbs 13:10 says, only by pride cometh contention. If there's ever a rub, if there's ever somebody not getting along, somebody angry at the way things are going, either against one another or against providence or against whatever, God says, only by pride. Pride's the source of it. The Lord hates pride. He listed some things he hated, and he started off with a proud look, didn't he? That's what we think, what we know, what we are. But the well-advised is wisdom. Those that'll take counsel, those that'll take good counsel, and somebody telling you what God says, that's wisdom. That's true wisdom, isn't it? Well, what about my way? Can I just do this at home? Right, y'all had to get in a car and drive. Some of y'all, most of y'all, a long way.
to get here.
Couldn't we just do this at the house? Couldn't we zoom in? Huh? Is that something new? Is wanting to have it our way and the messages we want to cherry pick throughout the week and have it in our convenience of our own home in our own pajamas? Is that something new? Look at verse 12. He's mad, remember? He said, I thought he'd come out and do and handle me. He said, are not Abna and Pharpar rivers of Damascus? Aren't those rivers where I'm from better than all the waters of Israel? That Jordan's nasty and muddy and murky. We got clear water back where I'm from. That's good rivers. Can't I just do it there? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. He was mad because somebody said, you're going to have to do it where God says to do it. I promise you, ain't nothing changed. Now, you telling me? That's exactly what he's telling you. You got to go that river. Your rivers ain't going to cut it. And I thought, too, you know, you could take those rivers and cut it into anything. Maybe Abana Reformed Church. Can't I go down there? Can't I go to Pharpar Orthodox Methodist Church? Can't I just do it down there? That's fine. It's closer to the house. It's on the way. It's a big, nice building. They kiss up to me there. They like me real well and tell me all the good things I do. Can't I just do it there? There's some good things there. It's only a little bit of leaven. Can't I wash down there? Nope. How's this proud general going to be advised? The Lord is going to use another unnamed servant to reason with Naaman. Isn't that gracious? Here's this rebel. The Lord sent a little servant girl with good news, sent a king with good news, sent another servant with good news, and now sent a servant in his own household with good news. Isn't that gracious? You have multiple servants of God telling you the same thing over and over, and God didn't just kill you where you stand in your rebellion. Verse 13. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, my father, if a prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? If he told you to do something that was great, Tim, I want you to low crawl from here to Akumba, and God will save you for eternity. We'd get our elbows and knee pads out and get to low crawling, wouldn't we? Well, if he told us something else, conquer a large city, I'd kick in every door. Save up a lot of money. Wouldn't you have done that? He said, how much rather then, when he saith thee, wash and be clean. Humble yourselves and believe Christ. Take him at his word. That's what the word says. End of discussion. End of discussion. What are we going to do? What do I do about this matter? Well, God says this. Now, are you going to buck or are you going to bow? And I've heard my pastor say that. He had 50-some years of experience at it. I've had it up to here with the bucking. In my loved ones, in the people I'm friends with, and the people I encounter on a weekly or bi-weekly basis. God says so, I ain't fighting nobody. Buck or bow. God will have to do it. He will have to do it. Well, the Lord made him willing. Round 4. Worked on him, huh? Verse 14. Then he went down. Which way did he go up? He went down. He went down willingly. God made him willing in the day of his power. And he went down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan. He didn't do 8. He didn't do 6. He did 7 as he's told. He was obedient, made obedient. According to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again unto the flesh, like unto the flesh of a little child. He was clean. He didn't even have wrinkles. He just had like baby skin, like brand new. It's like that old outer covering you had was gone, and there was a brand new covering put on you. You see where I'm going with this? Anybody? New robes put on them. Brand new. Brand new. Oh, buddy. God saved that leper. And where did he go? Lord saved him. Right then. Where's the first place he went? He found the closest believer he could find. Verse 15. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his company. God ought to make us special too. If you have influence over somebody and you command your household, we're going to hear God preached. We're going to go down there where God's worshiped, and we're going to hear this gospel preached. They're either going to buck or bow, and you're going to have some problems on your hands. or the Lord's going to save some folks. But he didn't care. What if them servants would have quit? What if they got mad at him? And it says those servants called him father. See, it's some of his own children working for him. What if his kids got mad at him? That Philippian jailer didn't care. It's 2 a.m., so waking teenagers up. They're getting preached to. Paul, get after it. It's your business, not mine. He brought his whole company with him. He and all his company, and came and stood before him and said, behold, now, I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. There's no other gods. There's no God. There's God. The God of Israel. What's that mean? The God of Jacob. The one that came to save sinners like this one. And therefore I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. Isn't that something good? Right there, he wanted to do something good for Elisha. Elisha said, I ain't taking nothing. I'm just thankful the Lord saved you, and we'll look at that maybe another time. That's what happened before the Jordan and what happened after the Jordan. Maybe we'll look at that Sunday morning. But I just want to talk to you for a second. Now, the preaching's over, and I just want to talk to you. Okay? I pray God to make us understand this, give us some learning and wisdom, and teach us something out of this. God's going to meet us at our point of rebellion if we're His. If we're His. If we're not His, you'd be fine. No worries. It'll be just smooth sailing and easy Christian living until you wind up at the gates of hell. But if we're His, He's going to meet us at our point of rebellion. And that's individual. And we're going to bow. And if not, we're going to remain godless rebels. It's one or the other. It's one or the other. Naaman, he was concerned about outward looks, and he was proud, and he thought of himself. What happened to him? He had to get clean naked and go down to a nasty river. And God saved him. That rich young ruler, what was his point of rebellion? His money. The Lord didn't say you had to get old and you had to lose your power. He said, go sell everything you have, follow me. And he went away sad. You know, it wasn't a matter if he went away happy or mad or angry, or he went away. He left. It don't matter how he left. He rebelled. But did everybody have to sell off everything they have? No. Abraham had 318 manservants. Solomon, whew, loaded. Job, greatest man of the East. Joseph of Arimathea, he had a hewn out of stone, brand new sepulcher to be laid in. He's wealthy. 100 pounds of aloe wasn't cheap. Ain't cheap now, wasn't cheap then. They didn't have to be met there. The Lord met them in a different place. After the Lord spoke to his disciples about John the Baptist, he said, you go tell them everything. The lame walk, the lepers are healed, blind receive their sight, listen to all things, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. Now go tell him again. I healed a leper, go tell him one more time. Go tell him again. He said, he's talked to those people that around Luke 7, he turns to them and he says, what went ye out in the wilderness for to see? I bet they're murmuring about John the Baptist. Oh, did he lose his faith? And he was speaking concerning John. He said, did you go out in the wilderness to see a reed shaking in the wind? Some little skinny fella out there that was a boy that could shave, but just bend over every time you blew on him? What went for out to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they which are gorgeously appareled and live delicately, they're in the king's courts. That's politicians. My servants ain't like that. But what went you out to see? A prophet? Is that what you went to go see? Just like Naaman. What did you go out there looking for? You just wanted your leprosy healed. Was you out there to meet God's prophet? Yea, I say unto you that all much more than a prophet. This is he of whom it's written, behold, I send a messenger before thy face, which shall prepare the way before thee. For I say unto you, among those things those that are born of women, there's nothing greater than the prophet of John the Baptist. But he that's least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. He said, I'm standing right in front of you. And all the people that heard him, the publicans, justified God being baptized with the baptism of John. Everybody that believed that, they believed and professed Christ and believers' baptism after they finally heard of Christ, who he was. But the Pharisees, they bowed. Those men bowed. But the Pharisees and the lawyers rejected the counsel of God. That's Christ talking. That's the counsel of God. His word. Against themselves. That's all I want to earn. Being not baptized of him. They wouldn't go be baptized. I ain't doing that. They wouldn't dip it in that river 7 times. Well, what would people think? They'd think I wasn't saved before. Who cares what people think? These are eternal matters. This is life and death. The Lord said be baptized. And that was the point of contention with these Pharisees. They weren't going to look like they weren't the biggest rooster in the hen house. They wouldn't look like the boss, didn't they? Herod had to put away his second wife. He would go and listen to John the Baptist preach a lot until he heard that he wasn't allowed to have his brother's wife. Then trouble started. That was his point of contention. He's fine with everything John was saying. Now hold on now. That's hitting home. That eunuch, he tried teaching himself. Well, I was reading the scriptures every day. The Lord showed him he had to have a man teach him. That was his point. Pool of Siloam. That fellow's laying there, lazy, wounded and lazy. And the Lord said, will you be made whole? You're going to have to quit taking handouts from everybody. Ain't nobody going to bring you snacks 3 times a day. You're going to have to walk a little bit. Go to work, get a job. That woman at the well, she was filling her own pot, wasn't she? Lord dealt with her, she dropped that pot on the ground. She quit filling herself up. Saul persecuted the church. He was out to kill the Lord's people, and the Lord met him at that spot. He said, why are you persecuting me? Now go preach to the Gentiles. That's a shortened version. We'll get that in Acts, too. Right where you want to go care for my people, for my body. Jacob. I guess Jacob was probably in pretty good shape because the Lord made him lame. He popped his hip out. So maybe he's a runner. Maybe he liked jogging every day. Nebuchadnezzar, so wise and so intellectual, and he built such a great nation, had great building plans. And he said, look what I dreamed all this up. And the Lord took his mind from him. Yeah. What's that mean for us? Does someone have to be baptized to be saved? No. No, a thief on a cross is the first thing we go to, isn't it? He don't have to. But when it comes up in his word, the Lord said, if you don't confess me, I ain't confess you for the Father. Go get in the water. We do it. Willingly, don't we? Well, nobody twisted your arm. Willingly. Well, that's what the Lord said. Do it. Here's the Lord's table. Take. Eat. It ain't complicated. Well, I want grape juice. You want to tell that to the Lord? If he showed up and said, take, drink, this is my blood. Well, you know, I like Welch's. Yeah. No, thank you. That's wine. That's his blood, isn't it? Does a person have to be part of a local assembly to be saved? No, they do not. But when they come upon this word and their way of doing things is met with the word of God, they'll bow. They'll see they have to. They'll see that's right, and they'll see the benefit of it. And that's why I haven't experienced that benefit yet, but he says so, and I believe him. You see the difference? They'll say, that's fine. Does someone have to forgive others to be saved? No. That's not what needed. The Lord forgiving us is what's needed. But when we're met with that in his word, go forgive as Christ has forgiven you. How can you not? Your heart's melted. He sent his word out, and it melted them. They didn't sit around and talk about Firestone tires after. They weren't concerned about whether they were going to file taxes, if it's April 15th or not. Their hearts were melted. Does a person have to support the gospel? No. Financially give. Do they have to forgive? No. But they will. Do they have to give? No. But when they read this word and it burns in them, they'll go pick up another job if they have to. They'll do whatever it takes to keep this word going forward. If it's precious to them. if it's precious to them. But if they think they can get it out of a vending machine, they don't care for it. It ain't worth 25 cents to them. It has to take place. The Lord has to meet us in His Word at our point of rebellion, and He has to break us, make us willing, and make us bow. If we're sons and daughters of His, He's a faithful Father, and He will chasten His children. It's only recorded that Naaman has happened one time. I got a lot of points of rebellion. Do you know that? There's so many things I see in this Word, and I go, oh, why didn't the Lord show me that sooner? Well, that's what it is. This is the way it's going to be now. Sorry. If it hurts anybody's feelings, that's what we're doing. We're going to do it the way the Lord says. This has to take place. And we'll be made to cry out, let God be true and every man a liar. Because it's not that we're just breaking the rules and we're not doing what the Bible says. We're sinning against God. He has saved us. He's called us with a holy calling. We're in Him. And I don't want to wound Him. His law's lovely. Everything He says in His precepts, I can't do them, but I want to. But He's right. That's what David's talking about. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, all the things I do that I think's good. And cleanse me from my sin, all the things I do that I know is bad. For I acknowledge my transgressions, my sins ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mayest be justified when thou speakest. And be clear when thou judgest. Lord, you're right. I'm wrong. Whatever the point happens to be met at, that's what's going to happen. He's right. I'm wrong. You see, if you miss conviction, you miss repentance. And if you miss repentance, you miss faith. And if you miss faith, you'll miss Christ. And if you miss Christ, you've missed life eternal. I pray the Lord send every one of His children a man to tell them of His Word, and bring them down and break their hearts and make them contrite and give them life and comfort them. I do. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, thank You for Your Word. Lord, thank You for these pictures of us lepers that You're so gracious to over and over again, despite ourselves. Thank You for the blessings we have in Christ and washing us in His blood. Father, forgive us for our rebellion and keep us as You've promised You will. Lord, and give us the strength to know that, and the grace to understand that the trials You send are for our good and Your glory. Thank You for Your Word. Apply it to the hearts of Your people, Lord, as You see fit. Because of Christ, we ask these things. Amen. All right, if you will, let's turn to hymn number 222.